This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor. Starting things off, we've got Harvest Hotline, sponsored by the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. NDSU and University of Minnesota Extension sugar beet specialist Tom Peters thinks the crop will be well above average this year. Recent rains have certainly been beneficial.
So the rain was very timely. Rain in September certainly is beneficial for our crop. So especially the northern part of the sugar beet growing region, which I think is one of the driest or was one of the driest. So from my perspective, the rain has a lot of value. It was very beneficial for sugar beet. And I think what we'll see that translate in terms of the size of the beets, it'll increase the yield potential.
Peter says some fields were really struggling with dryness.
I'm very bullish about the 2023 crop. I think we're going to have a very nice crop everywhere. Because we've been on the drier side this year, we have a high sugar crop. And that's what everybody's goal is to harvest beets that have a high percentage of sugar. So we're seeing that in the pre-harvest, and we expect that to carry over to stockpile harvest as well.
NDSU Extension plant pathologist Michael Wunsch says dry bean harvest has just started in the north to north central part of the state.
So the growers I've talked to were just barely starting harvest. Got some reports from local producers in this, Pheasant and New Rockford area that, closer to the research center. And the crop, they said, looked quite good, except that they were surprised to find a fair amount of white mold in spots, given what was not really a heavy rainfall type of summer. I did not hear any reports of severe white mold in this region. We just didn't get the rainfall for that, but certainly it was present.
Wunsch says white mold has been relatively patchy this year.
How widespread it was, I don't know. And it got the same comment that there was patchy white mold, usually more towards tree rows. But it was the type of year where no one expected it because it really didn't rain that much. We got enough rain for the crop, but it wasn't, a high rainfall summer. It was just like we saw 6 or 7 years ago. It was the exact same thing where we had, multi-day periods with daytime highs in the mid to upper 70s and heavy overnight dews.
According to the latest crop progress report, 18% of the corn is now fully mature. That's up from 9% last week. Over half of the U.S. crop is dented. 95% of the soybeans are setting pods, and 16% is dropping leaves. Spring wheat harvest is 74% complete, a 20% change in the past week. That's been Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services.
Looking ahead to harvest, Van On & Company CEO Christy Van On says it's important for producers to keep an eye on the basis.
I think the biggest thing is just focusing on basis and carry right now. So if you have to deliver at harvest, there are some basis opportunities still out there. If you are not delivering at harvest and you have HTAs, the carries are there to roll those out. I think those are the biggest factors to be looking at right now.
And holding grain may be beneficial if yields come in higher than expected.
I think what we've learned so far in a lot of areas is that the wheat crop was better than expected and the demand is not there. And there's been some talk of the fact that there just hasn't been strong bids off the P&W, that I worry if you don't have a crush facility close to you for soybeans, you could see elevators get a little bit backlogged.
Walsh Trading President John Walsh says traders may be expecting more decline in corn crop conditions going forward. Flooding conditions in China could also impact grains.
The corn declined yesterday. as well, a little bit more than people had anticipated at 3%. Again, we're, you know, getting into the latter part where declines are fairly common, but the corn decline, you know, over the last 2 weeks. And so there probably will be some further reductions of yield there. And I think some of the private analysts are a little bit more aggressive than the USDA has been thus far. The issue with the corns, obviously, why we're under $5 in the D's is, you know, our export pace has been a little bit poor. Now, there are some issues going on globally where China has got some flooding issues, and that might start to affect feed grains.
Wheat continues to see rallies while conflict continues in Russia and Ukraine. Carryover may be the bigger driving force in that market.
The wheat's rallying here today, but got a lot of issues, obviously, in the Black Sea region that really has not affected price at this point. There's no risk premium dialed in. The wheat carryover is, in my opinion, friendly. Having said that, we haven't had a lot of exports because Russia has been supplying a lot as they've had a record crop. But at some point here, it seems to me that some of that is going to start to affect this market, and we will need to dial in a little bit of risk premium.
Crude oil has been moving higher. Total Farm Marketing market analyst John Heinberg says that could hold support for the grains.
You know, a big factor in this market's been that crude oil market the last couple of weeks here, last couple of days, actually. We really accelerated crude oil prices, trading a little bit higher again today. Did trade all the way up to $87 a barrel on the crude oil futures. So again, we're seeing some tight supplies, continued cutting of production by Saudi Arabia and some of the OPEC countries, bringing some value into that crude oil market, which should spill over and possibly help out those grains.
If your family is going through a farm transition, or if you're considering succession planning, you'll want to join the Red River Farm Network at Big Iron. Marissa Nielsen of Freedom Financial Group will discuss strategies for tax, legal, risk, and wealth. That's at 3:30 Tuesday and Wednesday, and 2:30 on Thursday at Big Iron. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Danish global seed company DLF has announced its acquisition of the Corteva AgriScience alfalfa breeding program effective September 1st, 2023. This would include Corteva's alfalfa germplasm and breeding program. The Alforex Seeds brand name and trademarks and commercial alfalfa varieties.
According to the latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, farmer attitudes were lower in August. Rising interest rates and concerns about high input costs were factors. Despite the concern about interest rates, farmers remain cautiously optimistic about farmland values.
Bar Chart has released its September yield estimates, forecasting an average corn yield of 177.6 bushels per acre. That's 2.5 bushels bigger than USDA's August report and nearly 6 bushels larger than Pro Farmer's estimate. The Bar Chart soybean estimate is at 50.7 bushels per acre. That's just under USDA's latest estimate and a bushel higher than Pro Farmer. The wide range in estimates will bring more attention to USDA's next supply-demand report on Tuesday.
USDA is estimating South Dakota's spring wheat harvest is 97% complete. 9% of the corn is mature, near the 12% average. 21% of the soybeans are dropping leaves, on par with the long-term average. The rayflowers are dry on 41% of the sunflowers, and 5% of the bracts have turned yellow.
Russia carried out a 3-hour drone attack on agricultural and port facilities at Odessa early today. Damage is also being reported at a port on the Danube River. The Russia-Ukraine war has now been underway for a year and a half.
11% of Minnesota's corn crop is mature, well ahead of last year's 1%. 71% of the corn is dented. Corn silage harvested has reached 31%. That compares to the 5-year average for the state of 21%. 12% of Minnesota's soybeans are dropping leaves. 85% of the spring wheat and 87% of the barley is harvested. The sugar beet campaign is 6% complete, and nearly 20% of Minnesota's potato crop has been harvested.
Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber says finding drivers can be a struggle for farmers during sugar beet harvest season.
Labor's always on our minds as beet growers here. Back of the napkin math, at American Crystal alone, on the farm, we need between 7 and 10,000 people come October 1st to help get the crop in for just 10 days or 2 weeks. And that's really unique. You know, we don't extend the harvest out 2-3 weeks or a month or anything like that. It's rock and roll right on October 1st. So we need a lot of people to come out and help us, and truck drivers especially. You know, we need, just by my math, we need somewhere between 5,500 and 6,000 truck drivers alone up and down the valley. And that's a real need for us.
Weber says it can be a fun experience and encourages those who are willing to learn and be safe to check out available harvest jobs.
Sugarbeetjobs.com, and we got about 100 growers on there that have listed their phone number. They're all looking for help up and down the valley, strong wages and great hours. And really, it's anybody and everybody, you know, anybody from the 9-to-5 person that's looking for another paycheck, somebody that's in between jobs, somebody that's got some PTO to use, doctors, lawyers that are looking for a little change of pace, go help out at the farm, retired people, college-age kids, you name it, we'll take you. You just need a good attitude and a willingness to learn and be safe about it. And we'll take you, we'll put you in a truck, you drive a beet truck for 10 days and make a little money on the side there.
The Red River Farm Network invites you to our building at the Big Iron Farm Show. Each afternoon, we're featuring Market Outlook seminars. The lineup includes Tommy Grisafi, Jerry Gulke, Christy Van On, Randy Martinson, Brett Elke, Betsy Jensen, Brian Doherty, Allison Thompson, and Randy Zimmerman. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Trade Representative Chief Ag Negotiator Doug McAuliffe says the dispute between the U.S. and Mexico biotech corn issue could affect a farmer's productivity.
The United States Trade Representative has repeatedly expressed its concerns with Mexico over its approach on biotechnology products, specifically grain and corn. Mexico has been a very important trading partner for us and a very successful trading partner for U.S. farmers. But unfortunately, they have put in place presidential decrees that have singled out biotechnology and really set up a situation that threatens to disrupt trade between our countries, could potentially harm U.S. farmers and stifle innovation at a time when we all need to be seeking solutions to climate change and to productivity challenges.
The U.S. has since requested a dispute panel. McAuliffe says the next steps include
actually establishing the panel members, or the judges in this case. Once the panel is established, there will be a period where the participants are able to argue and bring their case and evidence to the USMCA panel. We would anticipate this entire process to wrap up in early 2024, certainly by mid-2024.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis December wheat 18 and a quarter higher at 780 and a half, March 18 and a quarter higher as well at 798 and a quarter. December wheat Chicago 10 higher at 609 and a quarter, December wheat Kansas City 23 and a half higher at 748. December corn a half penny higher at 486 and a half. March corn down a quarter penny at 500 and three quarters. November soybeans 12 and a quarter higher at 1377 and a quarter. January 11 higher at 1390. Soybean meal $1.30 a ton higher at $400.60. Soybean oil down 43 points. November canola in Winnipeg $4.80 a metric ton lower at $792.70. Live cattle October futures $2.87 higher at $182.82. And December live cattle $2.32 higher at $186.47. Feeder cattle September contracts $1.37 higher at $252.75, and October feeder cattle $1.87 higher at $256.17. Lean hogs October contracts $1.32 lower at $81.82, and December down 57 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.